chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity this morning to gather as your people, to have your word and your Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you'd quieten our minds and our hearts. Enable us through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to be able to understand this text and therefore step into 2022 with a confidence and with great encouragement that you are the one who has come to save, to seek out and rescue the lost. Amen. Good morning to you all. Welcome. I don't know if you go through this same experience, but leading up to Christmas, I tend to get, you know, this heightened excitement, this anticipation that, you know, things have got to be done, the grass has got to be cut, the edges have to be trimmed, you've got to get the right food, and, you know, like, the right invitations have to go out, you know, in inviting, you know, family and friends. But then between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, there comes upon me this sense of anxiety because I'm thinking of 2022. I want to sit down and I want to get my calendar out and I want to plan ahead and lock in those dates. I want to sort out, what am I going to budget for? What is the sermon series going to look like? And all of the endless lists of things that I want to do. But, you know, today is a great opportunity for us to begin with God's Word and also have a clear vision of who God is, what is He doing, what He has achieved, what is He continuing to do as we look forward to 2022. And so I want to begin by asking the question, when we look at Jesus, what do we see? When we look at Jesus, what do we see? Today, we're going to look at a story about a tax collector and a group of people. What the tax collector sees and what these people see hopefully will help us see more clearly what we ought to see when we look at Jesus. And I'm not talking about what Jesus looked like. What I'm specifically talking about here is the message concerning his mission, what he came to do. And so the title of the talk this morning, or the big overarching idea, theme, is who saw who? That's the question. Who saw who? So my first point is, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Now, you will have, you know, those handouts and the passage will be there, or you can follow it along up on the screen if it does pop up. But in Luke chapter 19 verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jericho is the city about, this is what I've read, 5 hours walk from Jerusalem. And so people traveling to Jerusalem would normally stop at Jericho for a rest. That's where the local server was, the drive-through where people would stop to rest and to refill. It had palm trees, shade. It had deep springs of water where people could be nourished. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, so it's no surprise that we read that he has stopped there too, for rest. Now verse 2 says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. The city of Jericho was a center of trade, business, commerce, lots of stuff was happening there. Money was changing hands. People were buying and selling. Now don't forget, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, a wealthy man. Wherever there was money to be made, Zacchaeus was there. That's why he's already in Jericho. Tax collectors collected taxes from the Jewish people for the Roman Empire. But Zacchaeus was not any ordinary tax collector, because we've been already told that he was a chief tax collector, which means he had others working for him, working under him. He ran a business. Now you've got to hear me right here. There's nothing wrong with owning a business, running a business, as long as it's legitimate, honest, ethical, above board. The problem with Zacchaeus was that's not how he operated. Okay? Now, if there was one person who would be of great interest to either ICAC or the ATO, it would be Zacchaeus. He knew people in high places. He was wheeling and dealing. Okay? He was cunning, corrupt, manipulative, heartless, dishonest, ripping people off. And to make things worse, he was doing it to his own people, his own kind. And you know what? That's exactly how he became wealthy. Great gains through dishonest practices at the expense of others. No heart, no compassion, no ethics, none of that. No morality at all. This is the kind of person we're talking about here. The only thing that Zacchaeus wanted to do was to make tons of money. Tons of money. Verse 3 to 4 says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I've never seen a sycamore fig tree in my life, ever. I'm pretty sure that if I Googled it, images, you know, it'll show up. But I've never seen one. Has anyone seen a sycamore fig tree ever? Oh, one maybe. There you go. Notice that Zacchaeus here is the one who wanted to see who Jesus was. Understandably, Zacchaeus must have been thinking, who is this Jesus? Why is everybody talking about him? What is the fuss all about? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus silenced and freed a demon-possessed man in a synagogue. In chapter 4, he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Again, in chapter 4, he healed more sick people and delivered others from evil spirits. In Luke chapter 5, he enabled the disciples to catch large sums of fish to the point where their nets began to break. Chapter 5, he cleansed the man of leprosy. Again, in chapter 5, he forgave the sins of a paralytic and even caused him to walk. Just mentioned 6 times within 2 chapters so far where Jesus performed miracles. And we're nowhere even near chapter 19 yet. But hopefully you get my point. Jesus' many miracles meant that his reputation preceded him wherever he went. And even though we're not told in the text, but it's safe to assume that Zacchaeus would have heard about Jesus beforehand. Possibly. Most likely. But you know what I like about Zacchaeus? Without running into the danger of jumping to too many conclusions, placing too much of an emphasis and making Zacchaeus the center of the story, what I do like about Zacchaeus is he was curious about Jesus. He doesn't know who Jesus is. There's a lot of gossip, rumors about what Jesus has done. And all he wants to do is experience, encounter Jesus firsthand. Face to face. That's all he wants. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but there was a number of problems. There were obstacles. The first one was he was short. Now, I'm middle-aged at the moment, so those of us who are either my generation or above, you know, would know who Dan DeVito is. And that's who comes to mind when I read the story of, you know, Zacchaeus. That kind of short. Okay? So short that it meant that he couldn't see Jesus. So sure that when he stood at the back of the crowds, whether it was 5 deep, 10 deep, he couldn't still see Jesus. But Zacchaeus wasn't going to allow his shortness to stop him from seeing Jesus. Don't forget, we're talking about a bloke who's short, but he was creative. Imaginative. He would think outside of the box, especially when it came to making money, getting ahead, even if it meant breaking the law, even if it made him look like an idiot. On that last point, looking like a fool, it's now worth mentioning here that in Jewish culture, it's unacceptable for an adult man to climb a tree in public. For to do so would be considered an undignified thing. 2 years ago, as I was overseas on a very short mission, in that part of the world, you'd never find men walking around in shorts in public. Now, if you turned up to church in shorts today, I'm not picking on you, but that's just a culture in that subcontinental region of the world. Where my parents come from in the South Pacific, men wouldn't walk around without a shirt in public. It's an undignified thing to do. And we in the West wouldn't understand that, but there are these cultural intricacies and things that, are offensive in other cultures that we may not understand. In the Jewish culture, grown men just didn't climb trees. And let's be honest, if you found a grown man, unless he was a tree lopper, doing his work, his job, in a tree, there's something wrong there. Here, it was a problem for the Jews, but not for Zacchaeus. Now, if you were a culturally conservative Jew, you'd also think, in addition to his shortness, surely Zacchaeus would get it, that you don't go climbing trees. But Zacchaeus didn't care about dignity. He didn't care about cultural norms, expectations, or taboos. Zacchaeus literally didn't care about what others thought of him. He had nothing to lose anyway. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why he would get himself into trouble. A disregard for others, and in particular, a disregard for God. But there's always an exception. On this occasion, Zacchaeus, all he wants to do is see Jesus. Now let me ask, what stops us from finding out or getting to know more about Jesus? For Zacchaeus, it's a height disadvantage, being short, especially in a crowd, wanting to see Jesus. It was his culture. However, these things didn't stop him. What are the obstacles in our lives that stops us from getting to know Jesus initially? Or even more? Not just at a intellectual level, cerebral way, but know him and love him with all of our mind, with all of our heart, and with all of our strength. Is it doubt? Personal sin? Fear of others? Busyness? Wrong priorities? Past wounds that have gone unaddressed? Fear that you'll have to give up something? Political correctness? Wokeness? Not wanting to be seen by your friends as not being cool? Whatever it is. Whatever those obstacles might be for us, the good news is Jesus doesn't have the same problem when it comes to him getting to know us. Now here is where it leads beautifully into the next point. But before we move on, let me say, Jesus doesn't have the same problem we do, as I just mentioned. He's far more committed in wanting to get into know us, in pursuing us, in initiating, that process of going from darkness, sin, light, life, salvation, being rescued. He's far more interested and concerned and committed to us than we will ever be to him anyway. The second point of the talk, number two, it's Jesus who saw Zacchaeus. Verse 5 to 6 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now you might think it's no big deal, but actually something big is going on here. in the background, beneath the surface. It's not obvious, but it is significant and profound. You see, this isn't a story about two people who happen to meet by chance. This is not a story about Zacchaeus looking out for Jesus, as one might mistakenly conclude, understandably. Instead, more importantly, this is a story about Jesus looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought that he was looking for Jesus, but actually it was the other way round. How do we know this? Jesus already knew Zacchaeus' name. It's so simple and obvious, but profound. First part of verse 5, Jesus didn't stop, look up and ask him for his name. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, straight away he knew his name. He knew who he was. Some might argue that someone told Jesus beforehand about Zacchaeus' reputation, that everyone knew that, oh, this is the guy in the village, in the town that you don't associate with. Don't go near him. Okay? Some might say that. But not so. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name and who he was and what he was up to before they even met. That's how we know that Jesus was the one looking for Zacchaeus. Again, how can we be sure that it's Jesus looking for Zacchaeus? Second reason is that Jesus was committed to staying with Zacchaeus that day. Second part of verse 5, Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus, may I stay at your house today? No, he didn't do that. What did he say? I must stay at your house today. Must. Now, it's very rare that Jesus uses these words, this phrase, in the whole of the Gospel of Luke. It's only in this part of Luke's Gospel that he uses this phrase. However, when he uses it here in this story, it means that whatever Jesus says, whatever he's committed to, it will come to pass. When Jesus arrived in Jericho, he wasn't just stopping for a rest. Remember? Like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He wasn't just stopping for a rest. There was more to this. Jesus was on a rescue mission. Also notice Zacchaeus' response in verse 6, where he came down at once and welcomed Jesus. It's this joyful response to a warm invitation. It's incredible, isn't it? Out of all the people in society, this outcast who is on the fringes of the community, he gets God's Son, second person of the Trinity, turns up, God in the flesh, and he says, guess what we're hanging out today? You and I. Jesus' divine determination to see Zacchaeus is what makes it possible for Zacchaeus to see Jesus. If Jesus wasn't determined, then Zacchaeus wouldn't have met Jesus. You see, this story is not about Zacchaeus and what he's doing. It's about what Jesus is doing. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is that because he is so determined in pursuing those he loves, it's comforting to know these two things. One, Jesus never gives up. How encouraging is that? As we step out into 2022 this year, whatever happens, whatever we might be confronted with, whatever challenges that lay ahead, Jesus loves us. Jesus has pursued us. Jesus never gives up coming after us. And the other thing is, number two, Jesus never makes a mistake. You know those dark days when you're tempted to think, or you may have thought, maybe I'm not part of Team Jesus. Maybe, no. Jesus never makes a mistake when it comes to the elect. Zacchaeus ran ahead to climb a tree, but Jesus' determination outran Zacchaeus. You see, no one can ever outrun God's grace. You can run, you can go as far as you want, but when he comes after you, he's got you. In a good way, that is. Zacchaeus had no idea that Jesus was one step ahead. And that's the beauty of God's grace, isn't it? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far, but God's love is so powerful, persistent, and unrelenting that he is the one Jesus, the good shepherd who's willing to leave the 99 to go after that one lost sheep. That one lost sick sheep. This brings us to our third and final point of the talk this morning. Number three, the crowd see. Verse 7 says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. We're now told that the people also saw what happened. However, what they see causes them to mutter, to grumble. The reason why the people grumbled was because they were shocked that Jesus had gone to be the guest of a sinner like Zacchaeus. He didn't go and hang out with the mayor or the governor or the premier or the prime minister or, you know, the dignitaries or, you know, like, you know, these people who are high up in society. No, he didn't hang out with them people. He wanted to be with Zacchaeus. And so they were appalled. As we heard earlier, tax collectors not only worked for the Roman foreign occupying empire, but, you know, they were in partnership with a foreign group of people who bullied Jewish families, robbed Jewish businesses, intimidated Jewish young men, violated Jewish women. And the worst part about it was that tax collectors like Zacchaeus were Jewish themselves. The Jews considered people like him traitors. They despised people like him. The Jews could not understand why on earth a wise teacher, a great healer, a man they considered a prophet, would want to spend time with Zacchaeus. In their eyes, it was scandalous. The people thought that Zacchaeus' dealings, his association with the Romans, would be the greatest obstacle that would prevent Jesus from having anything to do with Zacchaeus. Because he's unacceptable, unworthy, unholy. But Jesus sees the situation very differently, as we'll hear very shortly. Zacchaeus, unlike the people that day, got it right when he saw Jesus. Now, while the people were in an uproar, while they were grumbling, what's happening with Zacchaeus? He's repenting, rejoicing, full of gratitude. What a contrast. It's like day and night. Zacchaeus says to Jesus in verse 8, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What happens up until this point in the story? Repentance leads to reconciliation. Reconciliation finishes with rejoicing. When Zacchaeus met Jesus on the road to Jericho, Zacchaeus was a bad man. Okay? But when he came face to face with Jesus, repentance in recognizing who he is, that Jesus is the one who has come to seek him out, to save him. For Zacchaeus, Jesus all of a sudden became beautiful, valuable, his treasure, far more important and valuable than, for the first time in his life, money, power, and wealth. Jesus had so much of an impact on Zacchaeus that he went from being a taker to now a giver. That's incredible, isn't it? A man who constantly takes from people, widows, you know, he takes from men who are working hard to support their families. Total transformation. Then in verse 9 to 10, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The thing we need to remember is that the people got it right when it came to Zacchaeus, but they got it wrong when it came to Jesus. Yes, they were right. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but they were wrong in failing to see that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. The people couldn't see that Jesus came to seek and save lost people like Zacchaeus. The people here couldn't see that what made Zacchaeus lost is what also made them lost too. It's what makes all of us lost without God. Another helpful way of looking at the different groups of people in this story, which I borrow from another speaker, is that there are religious people and there are rebellious people. Religious people are self-righteous, proud, full of themselves. They believe that doing good things for God is what makes you acceptable to God. They look down on others. They're in this game of comparing themselves to others. Rebellious people, on the other hand, they don't care about doing any good at all. In fact, any fault for God has no bearing or impact on their lives. They don't submit to God in their lives. They are gods themselves, and even though they won't say it or put it that way, but they live that way anyway. They don't want God ruling and reigning over their life. They're the ones who are seated on the throne, not God. The religious people in this story is the crowd, of course, the people watching on, and the rebellious person here is Zacchaeus. The only kind of people that God wants to reach out and do his work amongst are those who he makes redeemed. Redeemed people. Not through our efforts, not because of our good works, not by our merit, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and the cross, the resurrection. Sin is our decision to live our lives our way, on our terms, apart from God, total rebellion. Sin is what separates us from God. It is what causes us to be lost, to be far from him. Jesus is the one who comes to seek and to save lost sinners like us by bringing us back into a loving relationship with God the Father. What's this story about? What's this part of the Bible about? It is this. There's nothing you can do in your life that will make God love you less. There's nothing more you can do in your life that will make him love you any more. It's only by hearing and believing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the thing, isn't it, about the gospel? You have the crowds and you have Zacchaeus. And they see it one way. Zacchaeus sees it a different way, by the grace of God. When I started earlier on in prison chaplaincy, fresh, a little bit naive, inexperienced, and I remember walking towards one room to meet one inmate, and then the senior officer came in and he said, "Seti, such and such an inmate wants to see you." Now, you got to remember, you know, I'm a middle-aged man now. For the last 20-odd years, you know, I've known about this particular inmate because, of course, you know, media. And when he says that name to me, I'm thinking to myself, nah, there must be a mistake here. This inmate probably wants to see the Muslim chaplain or the Buddhist chaplain or the Catholic chaplain, not the Christian chaplain. And I'm trying to think in my head, you know, how can I get around this? Why? Because like the crowds, I'm struggling internally to make sense. Why would I bother going and seeing this particular inmate? And if I did anyway, I just want to go all Old Testament on him and tell him eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for a life, because that's what you deserve. But no, the gospel is different, isn't it? And that's what the crowd was confronted with that day. They didn't know who Jesus was. They couldn't make sense of what he had come to do. But by the grace of God, Zacchaeus did. Jesus assured Zacchaeus that he was now saved and a part of God's family. He had gone from being an outsider to now becoming an insider. The Jews back then wrongly believed that your biological connection to Abraham, the great patriarch, is what made you a son of Abraham, a part of God's family, God's chosen people. Jesus corrects that misunderstanding by pointing out that it is rather your spiritual connection to the patriarch Abraham that makes you son of Abraham, part of his family, God's chosen people. Zacchaeus, not those casting judgment over him, is now the true son of Abraham. Like Abraham, Zacchaeus is a man of faith. Abraham trusted in God's promises and the Lord honored that. Zacchaeus trusted in the Jesus who saves, and Zacchaeus was now part of the elect. You know what the name Zacchaeus means in the original language? I've read, so I'm told, pure, clean, righteous. Now, think about it. How is it possible for some crook like Zacchaeus to go from pure, clean, righteous, acceptable to God to now being accepted? Jesus. That's the game changer. That's the difference. Jesus is the one who's able to forgive, able to save, able to restore, transform, and renew all over again. The good news is, he can do that for your life today. He can begin that process of salvation, sanctification, change, transformation, moving forward. And so as we step out into 2022, as we've begun, let me leave you with this question. When you look at Jesus, even if you've heard about Jesus all your life, you've grown up with Jesus, you know, like in your home because your family are Christian, You're so familiar with the gospel story, or you're not at all. It's totally new to you. When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Because hopefully, what you'll see is that he is the one who has come to seek out and to save the lost, to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised back to life, not only that we would have eternal hope in the life to come, but we would live the renewed life in the present, freed from Satan's power over us, free from the fear of death, fear of God's just coming judgment. Let me pray. Father God, we do thank you that the story of Zacchaeus is really a story about your grace. We thank you that through this story we may have seen ourselves at various points, but we do pray and ask that you'd help us to rejoice, just as this man who was once an outsider was welcomed into your kingdom and salvation had come to his house. And no doubt others were impacted by his life moving forward. And so we pray, bless us and use us this coming year to share that same message of the gospel with those around us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.